I regret that I am not dressed in the right color exactly, or I would join your choir. Formidable, merci beaucoup, béni soit le nom de Dieu. En autre temps, mon français, c'est pas le meilleur aussi. En effet, je suis dangereux en français un peu. Thank you, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and share this morning. So the clock is, I've told, 5 minutes fast, which is going to really confuse me after I get going. So you just have to bear with me, and I hope that this morning will be a blessing to you as we gather together. So I've been addressed the topic from John chapter 7 and verse 37. Now on that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." Rivers of living water. Well, there are different kinds of water, but then there's just one kind of water. I suppose the mode or the container of the water is the main thing. I couldn't read this without going back to John chapter 4 and Jesus in the well, speaking with the woman at the well in Samaria. And after a brief introduction and Jesus asking the woman for a drink, he said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So in John 4, he talks about living water. In John 7, he talks about rivers of living water. And then I was reminded this morning of the verse in Jeremiah chapter 2, where the Lord, decrying the sins of his people, says this, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." So for sure, it's the same water. It's how the container of the water, and the Lord himself is the source of all living water. The fountain, he says, he describes himself in Jeremiah 2, the fountain of living water. What was interesting for the woman in the Samaria, she was interested in a lot of things, apparently, from her history, but she was surprised that Jesus would talk to her about living water, of water that was flowing, because at that time, they were at a well where the water was stagnant. The water was inside the well, and living water is water that, in one sense, is water that is flowing. So a stream is living or moving, active water. Water from a stream or a spring. A spring is living water. And moving water, water that is fresh, water that is life-giving. And in the woman of Samaria, this water was from a well. It was not stagnant water. It was potable. It was drinkable. It was good water. But Jesus, of course, was speaking of something of a higher level. Jesus was speaking to her of sustenance for her soul, real living water for what she really needed. And of course, from the text here, what we just left briefly, Jesus goes on to talk to her about her life and the men that she has lived with and the man that she lives with now who is not her husband. Living water, water that's flowing, water that's moving. "He who believes in me," Jesus said, "as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." So I think from these verses and from our knowledge of Bible and theology, we would say that when we become to Christ, we receive something from him. We receive of his spirit. We become born again, as John chapter 3. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh," Jesus said. "That which is born of the spirit is spirit." We become born again, born anew, born into the family of God. And yet, Jesus talks in this instance here in John chapter 7, "From his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." With the Samaritan woman, he talked about the well would be a living water within her. Jeremiah talks about God being the source of that fountain of living water. And here, I think there's a slight nuance of difference insofar as the water that's flowing flows out from within and it flows somewhere. It goes somewhere. It doesn't just stay in the pond. It doesn't just stay in the well. It doesn't just stay in the spring. Water, in this instance, goes somewhere. And I think that's a very good picture of the Christian life. You know, we have been saved not for ourselves. We have been saved to serve. We have been saved not to not to be blessed and go to heaven. Although, you know, when I was just a brand new Christian, I could not figure out. In 1977, actually, just a bit of a history, I was involved in drugs and dealing drugs here in Ottawa with a motorcycle gang prominent at the time. And God reached down in his great mercy and saved me and delivered me. And I couldn't think of why he wouldn't just take me to be with him, you know, right away. Because wouldn't that be easier for me? I mean, wouldn't that be better for everybody? But I thought, you know, after a while, that's not really the purpose of God's intent for his kingdom and for our world. God's intent is that we be vessels of water, living water, flowing out to others. So I could tell you many stories this morning as I work with kids on the street, as I work with adults on the street. I thought I would just take a brief moment to tell you what could be termed as a bit of a success story. A young man in a broken home, parents divorced at the age of two. I think the young boy, as a child, saw some very terrible, horrific things. There was violence in the home. It was an alcoholic home. And there was unfaithfulness in the home, which this young boy, when he was two, it witnessed and evidenced. And going back between one set of parents and another set of parents for most of his early childhood years, he developed some insecurities and some problems and turned to alcohol and drugs to try to deal with them, to try to cope with the pain. And this is a common story for many of our street kids who are on the street, many of our adults who at some point in their childhood have had some really bad experiences and have never had the support and the help to get over them. And so fast forward to the point where this young man becomes a teenager involved in drugs and alcohol and the fast life, not having any resource to draw from except those that he makes up himself. In fact, he read the scriptures. He received one of those, remember, I received one in grade six, a Gideon Bible. I don't think they do that anymore for young children, but in those days, they gave out Bibles to all the children. I remember signing the back of that Bible and praying that prayer. It just made sense to me. God made sense to me, but I had a God of my own making. And so this young man had a transformation of his life. And yes, I am that man. And God has had his hand on me. And when I became a Christian in Arnprior, and lived in Arnprior at the time, people said, oh yeah, Ken McLaren, we'll see how long that lasts. And now we're 38 years later, and it's getting better all the time. And an instance, just one example, and there are many here, of water, of life, of help flowing out from one person to another. So in the course of our talk this morning, I want to just think about that. From his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. For those who have come to Christ, for those who know him as personal Lord and Savior, for those who are yielded to his Lordship, somehow there has to be an expression, there has to be a flow of that water through us, through you, through me. So I'm going to suggest that I may be able to help you with that as the Lord directs you. Give me a moment, please. Indulge me. Some information that you have in your hand or at the back table, a Passion for Youth art program, our fine arts program, and I want to talk about that. You'll meet some of the kids this morning from this program, a newsletter, and a very interesting yellow piece of paper that is an advertisement for our urban intervention training. So this is a 17 or 18-hour program of fast-track training where we lead people just like us, any one of us, to a deeper understanding of street culture, safety, boundaries, and all those things in order to prepare us to be outlets of that river. So I have a 7-minute and 24-second DVD I'd like to show you. I know we can't all go down to the streets, and we all can't go to the drop-in, so I thought I would bring the drop-in and the streets and our outreach to you. So we'll continue in just a moment. Thank you.
Ken McLaren, Executive Director of Ottawa Inner City Ministries. Since 1988, we've been working with people experiencing poverty and homelessness right here on the streets of our city. We have almost 80 churches support us, over 100 active volunteers, and people just like you who care about the poor. Here's OIM at a glance. In all of our OIM programming, staff and volunteers are able to provide advocacy and support to some of our street friends. It's really not rocket science. Helping someone with the acquisition of a health card, taking someone to an appointment, helping someone find housing, it makes all the difference in the world for our friends. Things that we take so often for granted are often very difficult for people who are on the outside and on the streets. We are making a difference. In our street outreach program, trained volunteers walk the downtown core each week, connecting with people who call the streets their home. It's so much more than a drink box or a granola bar or a sandwich. It's about building trust and relationships with people who are in need of a friend. We're there every week.
We make sandwiches, we pack our bags. Before we leave, we spend some time in prayer, and then we head out on the streets, and then we have a set route. And depending on how many people turn up, we'll decide on our teams, and we'll just go into the streets and meet people who look like they need some love and support and could do with some sandwiches.
The biggest thing of the people I meet, I think, is having someone to talk to, you know, someone who wants to know that they're okay, someone who just wants to know them for them, who they are, and not want anything from them except to know that they're okay.
From my experience, it's just that they have hope that they can maybe get out of their addictions and maybe live a more normal life. So.
Yeah, they've helped me out all through winter and with warm socks, you know, like mitts and hats and everything, you know. They've always been there every night, like on the worst nights. They've been out helping out, so.
Outreach actually means a lot to me. They're really cool. It's awesome what they're doing.
Honestly, you know, I have to give them credit. There's not a lot of people that would actually turn around and do that.
Said I made bookings to talk to you all day.
Here's our drop-in. Volunteers come from the churches and from the community to come alongside people that need help. Clothing, foot care, chiropractic, a hot meal. But most of all, we're a friend to talk to. It's a safe place out of the cold and off the streets where people can connect with people.
So Ottawa Inner City Ministries has been around since 1988, and our mission is to really to be the hands and feet of Christ and to extend God's love to the poor and the marginalized in our city streets.
The services that we provide at drop-in are a light breakfast, we have a hair care station, as well as a foot care station, we have touch care, we have a chiropractor that comes in every second week, as well as we serve lunch, and we have a food bank program. We also have an alpha course and a clothing room.
You know, I just love being here, and I mean, we come because we're doing the work of the Lord, right? But you get touched inside.
My favorite part is being here with the company and the conversation.
Trying to get away from street crime and stuff like that. So
my friends who come every week will tell me their story, what happened to them during the week.
Maybe some individuals who have a little bit less in our community see God more in their lives. They see the blessings of God every day.
What I notice is the people are more relaxed. They're just, they feel so good. Yeah. They're not they often want to sleep when their head is on the pillow.
I was searching for things that would increase compassion in my own life.
We want everyone that comes through the doors to feel God's love and feel the peace that comes from being in His presence.
It's a nice treat to come here. Yeah.
Our Passion for Youth Fine Arts program brings young people in from the streets to a safe and welcome and warm environment. In this creative space, we build positive self-esteem and self-worth through mentoring, friendship, and encouragement. It has gone so far beyond our expectations. It is such a gift to be a part of their lives.
My favorite part about being here is just interacting with the kids. Laughing with them, being silly with them, and also getting to know them on a deeper level. It's just absolutely amazing.
There's a number of different reasons why I absolutely love coming here. One of them is the stability it provides someone coming from someone who's street involved or has a rough background.
I like coming to the art group because it just gives me a chance to get away from everything and just do what I love for a bit and be with people who are really incredible.
It's like family, man.
It is.
That's just the way to put it, right?
I like the fact that it's all my best friends that come here. It's pretty much like a family.
The way I see God working here is just helping build these youth up, the relationships that they're building with the adults and the volunteers and with each other, and building up their self-esteem.
My message to any street youth is reach for the stars.
You like that thing?
Is it cool?
Come on down.
Okay. Good job to everyone at OEM.
Well, I'm looking so long, and now I have found something around me. Yes, it's solid ground. In a lost time away from here, I had it now, but it's all gone. My fear is all gone.
As we look to the future for direction, we really sense that the Lord is helping us to see what needs to be done, and we are taking steps in that direction. As we move more from adult ministry to street-engaged youth, and from what you can see, we have a very successful, to the glory of God, program that is making a significant impact in young people's lives on the street. It's not like a church group. So for 8 of our kids, of the 23, I guess, now 25 in our program, we think we're the last resort. They do not access any other programs in the city. And that is a very serious thing, and it gives us a great deal of concern. But we thank God, really, we thank God for the opportunity to share and to be a part of these young people's lives. This was Max, and throughout the video, I think you maybe would have picked up perhaps some examples of living water flowing, I think. Living water flowing through staff and through volunteers, through haircutters and a chiropractor and a nun, a Roman Catholic nun that does light touch care on our guests at the drop-in. So my friend Max, who sang the song at the end, came to. I connected with him and built relationship with him some years ago, when we were having a Kelly Santini Law Firm do an art show for our kids. And one of the things that is not often done when agencies entertain youth or invite youth to come to an event, they don't often think of how the kids are dressed. But this group, this law firm, did, and so outfitted everyone with dresses and clothing that was appropriate for the occasion. The kids got all dressed up, and they looked like they were going to their graduation ceremonies. And Max was a latecomer just at that time, several years ago. And about 2 years, 3 years before that, someone had donated a pink Italian shirt silk shirt and with a pink and black tie and the crossbar and the all the decorations. It looked really nice. And when Max was indicating there was just a couple of days left and he didn't have anything to wear, the idea came to me that this shirt, which was in my closet or my cupboard in my office, would maybe fit him. I gave it to him. He loved it. He didn't take it off, I don't think, since the time I gave it to him until the time of the art show. So all that to say that we were in relationship. And Max came to the door on a Friday around 12 o'clock, and I was just looking into the fridge to see that there was a whole container of egg salad and a whole container of tuna salad that was not going to last over the weekend. And I listened to my receptionist talk with Max at the door. Well, I'm sorry, we're closed. Well, is the youth worker here? No, she's not here right now. And, well, could I use the phone? Well, we're not really open because, like, Friday's a day we try to catch up on our actual, you know, administrative work that we sometimes have to do. And I'm looking at this tuna and I'm the egg salad. And I'm listening to Max at the door. And I said, Max, come on in. I said, come on, we're going to have lunch. We'll have lunch together. So we sat down. And as he sat down, he said, look, he said, someone gave me a Bible. He said, Old Testament and New Testament. Of course, the reason being is that, you know, folks that give out Bibles on the streets often just give the New Testament. And I said, wow, that's really great. That's really cool. What are you reading? He said, well, I'm reading in the Psalms. I said, I'm reading in the Psalms. He said, no. He said, yeah. I said, I'm also reading the New Testament. He said, me too. I'm reading in 1 John. And I said, no, I am also reading in 1 John. And so began a conversation that very naturally led to a presentation of the gospel. And over the course of the next 15 or 20 minutes, I shared with Max about the story of Jesus and his love. And I think it was just one of those moments that God gives us occasionally where we can see the water, the river flowing. And of course of our conversation, I shared a few verses with Max. I initially said, you know, Max, it would really be wrong of me not to tell you about this. It would be wrong of me to keep this information to myself. And he goes, oh, okay. And then, you know, in the course of the gospel presentation, I used the verse from 1 John 5, 11 to 13. I'm sure you all know it familiar. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So fast track then to the prayer time. Max is a big man, and he had, at the time, long dreadlocks, and he wouldn't really look me in the eye. He didn't feel comfortable doing that, and so I asked him if he would like to receive this gift of eternal life and come to Jesus, and he said yes. So we prayed, and I watched, you know, as we prayed, and tears were streaming down his face, and God was doing this marvelous work in Max's life, and we finished, and he wiped the tears away, and suddenly my youth worker comes through the door. And I said, how's it going? He said, fine. He said, well, hi, Max. And Max said, hi. And I said, you know, you might want to ask Max just like what's going on here. And Max, like, you know, deer in the headlights look and says, well, you tell him. I said, hey, it's not my story. It's your story. You tell him. So he thought for a moment and he said, I've just received the gift of eternal life from the 1 John 5 verse that I shared with him 15 minutes ago. And my worker says, well, that's great, you know, and we talk a little bit, and would you like to come to a little Bible study? Because another young person came to Christ also, Christina, and I don't have time to tell you that story this time, but if you invite me back, I'll tell you, I promise to tell you the Christina story. It's amazing. It's on my blog, somewhere in the archives on the right-hand click. And my worker said, you know, we'll come to a Bible study, because Christina's coming, and it's like a, you know, how to get started in Christian faith and stuff. And Max said, yeah, could I bring my girlfriend too? Why? Because it would be wrong of him not to share that same gift that he just received, the gift of eternal life. I don't know. That seems to me, it sounds a lot to me like water's flowing here, that things are flowing in our midst, and we're kind of just, you know, over and above, just standing back and watching these things happen. So right now, what's this past Thursday, here's what we have in our youth program. And I want to share the next, if I've got 5 minutes fast, I'm supposed to finish at 20 after. I've actually got 13 minutes left, and that's fine. Our youth program, you saw a little bit of it, but you didn't see the capacity. We have 25 kids and 5 adult mentors because they like to let the water flow through them. Catching my drift where I'm going here? I'm going somewhere. And we have two staff in a room that could easily fit 15. We have no capacity for expansion. We have no capacity for growth. We could easily split this group into two because, you know what? I've got kids waiting on the streets that can't come into my program because I'm too full. And just a recent development within the past several months, although God's been planning it for some years, we've discovered that there is a gap in the system in our city where youth from the age of 22 to 30 or 32 have zero services targeted for them. And now the reason that you think, well, that's pretty old for a youth, a kid who's 25 years old who's street engaged does not develop properly, as you might imagine. Someone who's on the street since they're 14 or 15 using drugs and that fast life culture does not develop in the same capacity as a normal 25 or 26-year-old. So in many ways, they're like a 16-year-old or maybe a 17-year-old. So for having to have them or someone younger than them be cut off from youth services and have to access the adult services and negotiate that labyrinth and network of confusion for even anyone who has all of their smarts about them is a very difficult thing. We want to reach that population. And now the reason that we want that is because, of course, we've got kids in our program who are getting too old for our program. So Jenna that you saw, and you'll see again in a few moments, she's 25. Well, she's kind of like a mentor, and she'll tell you a little bit of her story. So maybe that's a good segue. We'll go to the second little clip. It's only about 4 minutes and 15 seconds, which will give me about 8 minutes left.
Hi, my name is Shane, and I'm part of the Passion for Youth program, and my favorite part about being here is being with all the other youth who come from a background like mine. Being here has affected my self-esteem and overall confidence in my artistic abilities.
Hi, my name is Rita, and I'm part of the Passion for Youth program. And my favorite part about being here is the feeling of acceptance and being able to explore my talents. Being here has helped me find my identity, and it also has helped me express myself and my faith. Art program through All I Am Ministries. One of my favorite things about coming here is being with people of similar backgrounds and kind of being considered like I'm in a family. Being here has affected me in a positive way because I like coming here and having a place to do something I love with people that I'm very comfortable with, and I like this environment.
I want to close with a talk that Jenna gave to a group of former NHLers and hockey players last February at Hockey Helps the Homeless. This is something that she wrote herself. I had to get my youth worker to do the spell check because I couldn't read it until the spell check was done. But she wrote this all herself and did not receive any help. So, you know, I'm going to read this and I'm going to pray because that'll probably be all of my time that I have. But I'm just going to ask you just a couple things. One, I'm going to really ask if you could pray that God would open a door for us, that we would be able to get funding for this, you know, aging out youth, transition age youth program. Also, we need our own space. You know, it breaks my heart that there are kids in the street that I can't get into my program because I don't have a spot for them. So we're going ahead with it as a board, and we're looking and believing God for our own space. And it's, you know, it's a unique thing. It's going to be a God thing because it has to be downtown. It has to be, you know, enough size for our needs. Not for a drop-in particularly. We can use churches for that, but for our youth program as God gives us leadership and direction. Also, so if you're interested, if God has talked to you or indicated in, you know, promptings of your spirit or heart and you want to come and check out our volunteer training, please do that. I think you've received one of these or there's some at the back table. And if you would like to get our newsletter, which is really cool, colored, first time ever, this time for our anniversary, our 25th anniversary, then, you can sign up an email, sign-up sheet to the back also. And then this Friday is our 25th anniversary celebration with Ballet Magnificat. You maybe heard it on CHRI radio. There might be a poster here somewhere, I don't know. But check our website out and come out. That's going to be, it's kind of like NAC Ballet, only a third of the price. And Christian. One of the presentations is about the arrival, the return of Jesus Christ, and the other is about the deliverance of God from Egypt with a featured from DreamWorks, one of the Dream of Joseph, I think. If I read quickly, I can get this done and be on time. I like being on time. Jenna's talk is his titled. Good evening. So this is the lady, this is the young lady that you last you saw on the DVD. I was asked by OAM to speak tonight about my experiences with poverty, homelessness, and what it's like to be a street-engaged youth in Ottawa. I really did not know if I could do OAM justice, but I figure I'd give it a shot because of all the times they've helped me. My experience with OAM began when I was a youth on the street. Even just getting a warm pair of socks, something to eat or drink, was uplifting during hard times. Having outreach teams come around just even to talk at times felt like a godsend. Even if they just came to talk, I felt at least someone cared about us. Considering not many other people took the time and to think these people were volunteering to do this, they must genuinely care. They were always there with me, for me, with at the very least a kind word or two, friendly conversation, and a hug when you needed it. Not a lot of people care to even bother themselves with thinking about homeless youth. And if they do, I find that 99% of the time it's usually pretty negative. No one ever cared to ask me my story. They did. I told them that at 14, I was kicked out of my home after being abused emotionally, sexually, mentally, and physically all my life. I could not remember not feeling pain at any time in my life and often wanted and attempted to end it. Being on your own at such a young age, it was very difficult to gain stable housing, attend school on a regular basis, or tend to my own needs very properly. As you can imagine, it's very difficult for a 14-year-old to find someone who would rent to them. So after using up my time at the young women's shelter and being too afraid to go to the regular adult women's shelter for fear of violence, drug abuse, and prostitution, I ended up finding other youth in my position and sleeping outside with them. There lies great truth in the saying, safety in numbers. After about 3 years of sleeping outside, couch surfing, and staying at shelters, but mostly on the street, I went for a visit to my, and she went, family. The reason I say it like this, she did this, family, is because to this day I consider the bonds that I made with other youth who experienced the pain and heartache as I did to be stronger than those of my own blood. While visiting, I ended up seeing my lifelong abuser for the very last time, and it was not a happy memory. I remember the very last words he said to me were, "Take those stupid things out of your face and grow some hair, then I'll respect you, you freak." I simply replied, "Love you too, Dad," and he drove away. 2 days later, at about 3 a.m, the police came to my mother's home to tell us my father had been in an accident and did not survive. After this event, I traveled across Canada. At this time, I was 17 years old. Me and a friend made it all the way to Calgary, Alberta in 5 days. I spent a few months out there and eventually made my way back home to Ottawa. From Calgary, I had a pen pal who I corresponded with regularly who lived in Ottawa, and when I arrived back, we decided to meet. When I did, we were inseparable, and I had found who I thought was my soulmate. After a year, so I was 18 here, I found out I was expecting, And being very young and headstrong, my fear was soon overcome by excitement and joy. But I remained homeless and sleeping outside until I was 8 months pregnant. Around that time, my soulmate decided to move somewhere far away, cut off all contact with me, and to this day I haven't heard from him. My beautiful little boy is now 4 years old, and I also have a one-year-old, both boys. And anyone with children knows how wonderful and amazing and life-changing they truly are. When I started going to OIM's art group, I was hooked. Their mentors and goal-focused environment helped me to gain a home, get my children back, and most importantly, my self-confidence. They've been more of a family to me than my own blood, and I never felt anyone take more interest or show me more support than them. They've motivated and supported me enough to start working at a new shelter and also to complete OIM's urban intervention training course and to start volunteering with their street outreach team. The people at OIM would never have a bad word to say about any of us youth in the art group, and for that I owe them the state of my life today. Knowing they're privately funded each day, I thank God for the people who helped not only me, but many of my companions make a better life for themselves. For the rest of my life, I'll be truly grateful to these people for their help and confidence in me. To quote Mahatma Gandhi, be the change you want to see in the world. I've never believed that more deeply or more truly than when I met these people who took an interest in my life and my goals and my art, and they showed me how amazing it feels to do it for others. So thank you, OIM, for being the change in my world. Thank you. So allow me to take a moment and just lead us in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God and everlasting Father, you who are the Father to the fatherless, you who said you'd put the poor in families, you who care and love us with an everlasting, eternal love, steadfast love, unconditional love, we thank you for the opportunity to know you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit at work in our lives and at work in the downtown core, and at work in these young people. God, help them to turn to you. God, show them your love. Reveal your hand and your face and your heart to them. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit at work in our lives individually that flows out of us through others. It's not a stagnant pond. It's not a dead sea where things flow in but nothing flows out. It is a flowing river, streams and rivers of living water from you, the fountain of living waters. Thank you. Thank you for your Spirit at work in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would help each of us to find our place, wherever that may be, in whatever ministry, in whatever agency, whether using our gifts to help the poor or to help the infirm, the elderly, the sick, to serve in the church, to preach, to pray, whatever it is, Lord, may your river flow. For the sake of your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.